7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
It's our CCHA crew. Yes, the scrambled eggs of this episode continues here with everybody out of sorts. As always with us, Ryan Stieg, Lucas Pippenhagen, Marissa Voss, Alex Micheletti. Thank you all for joining us. Yeah, about that. A lot of things that we thought would happen a certain way kind of did happen. So let's start with Lucas here because you are the reigning Mason Cup champions. Lucas, it wasn't maybe the prettiest way to get it done, but you got the job done. And shall we say that, well, Ryan, I hate to say this, but St. Thomas kind of gave you a little bit of a gift there, don't you think? No, I'm kidding. A bit of a different matchup for you with Lake State. I think it's a favorable matchup, but you're off to the semifinals and Bemidji State did it in two games.
Yeah, I mean, Friday night was definitely a little bit sketchy. You know, and credit to Ferris State, they came out of the gates hot. I think they gave Bemidji State some looks that they hadn't seen out of Ferris State this year. Just systematically, it seemed like the pressure that Ferris State was generating, you know, within the first 10 minutes of that game was, you know, it led to a couple of big mistakes for the Beavers. They took a penalty early that the Bulldogs were able to score on the power play afterwards. And, you know, another just kind of defensive miscue. And suddenly, Bemidji State's down 2-0. The rest of the game, though, I would say Bemidji State pretty much dominated. There were a lot of little just mistakes here and there, and that's what gave the Bulldogs a lot of hope. I mean, they were up 4-2, you know, halfway through the third or the second period still, and that was a period that Bemidji State outshot them something like 20-5, and you know, on five of those shots, two of them went in. So It took some last minute heroics from Eric Martin to get the game tying goal with the extra attacker out there. And then, you know, 37 seconds into overtime, just a really nifty play by Eric Bolkamp won it. And, you know, I really don't know how many defensemen out there are savvy enough to make that play, you know, kind of coming in on a partial line change. You know, you're out there with Kyle Loft, who's normally not your defensive partner. And, you kind of see that puck swinging, your Austin Jopie bringing that puck around the net and playing it low to high, and you know, coming in right off the bench just to find that space in the slot and know that Kyle Loaf's going to be looking for that, you know, that shot pass for the deflection. That's just a really nice play. So, you know, credit to him. He had a big weekend. I mean, he finished with 5 points on the weekend. He had three goals and two assists. You know, Saturday night he got a couple of power play goals, both of which in the post-game interview, he described him as lucky, and they were, for sure. I mean, the one, it looked more like a pass that Logan Stein just kind of misplayed and kind of let it get underneath his pad, and the second one actually went in off a skate. So, yeah, I mean, just a really good weekend, though. I mean, I thought they played well both games. They probably actually played better on Friday in the tighter game, but they get the job done, they move on, and that's all you can ask for at this time of year.
You know, we tried to call a couple of those players, but I guess they hung up when we tried. So heck of a Sally, by the way.
Excellent. Love that was great. At first, I thought he was doing a horns down, and I'm like, hell yeah, that's brutal. Like, that's awesome. Like, just, you know, you're not even playing him, but hell yeah, I love that. But no, yeah, hanging up the phone was good, too.
You used to call me on your cell phone, but Drake didn't pick up, apparently, so for something like that. Ryan, unfortunately, who also didn't pick up was St. Thomas, meaning they couldn't pick up the third, I should say, not the third, but the second win in game number three is what I was trying to get out of my very tired mouth here today. It's been a Monday. But it was a battle. It really was. And just, you know, you talk about sometimes in the playoffs, it's not that you make a mistake, but sometimes when, Ryan, you're going to walk us through this, I know, but it was probably the worst time for a young player to try to make a play. And as you know, throughout the weekend, St. Thomas undermanned again, dealing with injuries. And it just, to me, it was simply put, a younger player that was probably tired both in the body and the mind trying to make a play. And unfortunately, it did not happen, and it came back to bite the Tommies.
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, because on Friday night, St. Thomas was, you know, I was talking to the guys Saturday night after they won, and they said they were gripping their sticks too much, kind of afraid to make mistakes. You know, they're undermanned. You know, you're missing a guy back there. You know, you're trying not to, you know, you're too critical on yourself. And that's kind of how they played last Friday. Came back roaring Saturday, just looked good start to finish. And this, everything was going their way, even had a lead twice Saturday. Couldn't hold on. Lake State ties it late in the third. And then, like you said, that play is, it's really unfortunate because, you know, they're obviously exhausted. I mean, the third period, it was clear that, you know, they're given that they're all, but you could see the fatigue starting to get to them. It's the third game, they're undermanned. And then Pullman tried to keep the puck in his zone. It's the closing seconds. St. Thomas had it in the Lake State zone for over a full minute, the final minute. And I think he was just like, let's try to get one more. You know, we got 12 seconds or so left. Let's see if we can get a shot off. Lake State picks it off. They go off on the races, try to do a tic-tac play. You know, good shot by Lewandowski. It went off a stick, off somebody's body, off another body, and landed right on Dawson Tritt's stick. And to watch Aaron Trotter practically flip on his back almost to try to keep it out of the net, just came this close to keeping it out. It's to have that happen with 6 seconds left, it's a tough way to go out. I think if they had just lost, you know, 4-2 or something like that, well, they ran out of gas. It's just how it goes. But to lose with 6 seconds left, it's painful. And it was clear the guys are pretty devastated that that's how they went out. So unfortunate ending that that's what happened to them. At the same time, it's not surprising they lost in three. They gave it their all, but it was fatigue was there in the third period. You could tell they were a step behind and they're kind of, and JD Metz gets hit. That's another side thing. You know, Jared Westcott nails him and he's out. So if St. Thomas managed to win that game, they're probably down another forward going into the game against Michigan Tech.
Jeez.
So, yeah. It would have been even worse against Michigan Tech. So unfortunate ending, but that's how it goes.
It was a heck of an effort, honestly, by St. Thomas the past few weeks. I mean, just to kind of battle through the injuries, still secure home ice and pushing that series of three, right? I mean, I think, you know, if there's not that it helps, right, Ryan, but you certainly can't say it was for a lack of effort. They certainly left it all on the ice, did St. Thomas, and nearly put themselves back into a semifinal, right? I shouldn't say back, but put themselves into a semifinal, despite being very, very much undermanned. Let's go to our other guys that got through to the second round. And Alex, I'm going to tee this up a little bit differently for you because I know you're chomping at the bit to make a comment here, because somehow Wisconsin or Minnesota State 2.0 somehow lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten opening round, which I don't think anybody saw coming. But yet Minnesota State is off to the second round for the CCHA, and they did it in a pretty convincing fashion against Northern Michigan.
Yeah, that was like quite the scene to see. You know, just I can't believe that. Oh, I mean, Ohio State kind of owned the Badgers, you know, in the regular season too, and so they kind of just, you know, figured out a way to beat Hastings, which credit to them. You know, it's this time of year, you know, you have some seniors that, you know, some probably won't play pro hockey, and so they want to continue the, you know, their journey as long as they possibly can, and good for them. And I know I was at the Gopher game on Saturday, and so it was kind of a funny story. Jimmy Snuggerud got kicked out of the game about 3 minutes into the game, and he actually was in a suit and came up into the press box and was giving a smirk to everybody. So that was, you know, it'd be funny if that was his last game ever at Mariucci. But now they get another one this weekend, you know, against Michigan. So I know people are, you know, Gopher fans are pumped about that. But yeah, what a small world to, you know, Strand has more playoff wins than Mike Hastings now. So yeah, at their new schools. For now. But yeah, you know, credit to Ohio State and good for the Mavs.
So, Marissa, that brings us back to the job that Minnesota State had to do, right? Northern Michigan, which for whatever reason, I think, Alex, you had put this out in the group chat. It was like the last 4 years that the Mavericks have ended Northern Michigan's season. Is that right?
Three of the Mavericks and then one, I think it was Lake, right?
Lake State in 2021.
Yeah.
In Mankato.
Okay.
But so it's just a house of horrors.
Yes.
That's, I mean, you're on like almost PTSD territory. My goodness, if you're Northern Michigan, that's tough, right? Same matchup or same team, just different rosters altogether. Just still can't get it done. But Marissa, Minnesota State again, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit, only because that, you know, throughout this year, let's just say the confidence from you wasn't very high.
Yeah.
Minnesota State. Now, granted, there's still hockey to play. So we're still, you know, have yet to write the next couple of chapters. But Mavericks are in the semifinal for the CCHA. So well, let's be pointed. Are you going to walk back any of your less than confident statements? Or do you still feel like there's still yet some things to prove for Minnesota State going up against the other guys, Michigan Tech?
Yeah, the other guys. Michigan Tech, obviously, one game, which is just a winner go home kind of scenario versus what we obviously seen when I used to do it, where it was two games and the lot on the line, and you're going and you're traveling and you're on the road and you're going to a place like Michigan Tech, which you guys know how crazy of a place that is to play and how hard it is, high stakes. Luke Strand first, I feel like really like moment of like high stress and high stakes kind of scenario, because obviously last weekend you win 2-1 against Northern Michigan, feeling really good going into Saturday, and then just to do what they did, 6-1 Tyler Haskins and Luke Wilson with the little Tommy DeVito celebration, which you love to see. Brian Krabis, really good play by them on Saturday night. I feel more confident going into this matchup, but I still have some doubts just because it is Michigan Tech and you are going on the road. You are going there. And
it's not Austin Swankler that you're worried about, are you?
No.
We're going to get to his dad, too.
Listen.
After his nonsense today, too.
I'm poking the bear. Yes, I'm doing that on purpose. But yes, continue, Marissa.
He should be scared. He should be scared of what the Mavericks have, because he's just a lot of people, especially teams, don't like him right now, top of the hit list kind of a scenario. So I think I'm not scared of Austin Swankler. I don't think anybody should be scared of Austin Swankler. I just think it's a scenario that they're like, if we want to beat Tech, and it's Tech, and they're number one hated team in the CCHA. We're going to be honest here, and that's saying a lot because we have Bemidji State in this division.
Oh, Marissa,
Listen, I had to make up because last week Lucas said some things about Minnesota State and well served, but we can't let those things go unnoticed. But no, obviously I love Bemidji State, so obviously I just like poking the bear too as well. But they are definitely the most, Michigan Tech is the most hated team in the CCHA by far, and one of the most hated teams overall, I think, in the NCAA tournament, especially when they had 14,000 commercials during State of Hockey or the Minnesota Hockey Tournament. Every single time it was like Pietola, and I was like, can you get off my screen? I am trying to watch Chanhassen win. Can you get off my screen? I always knew I wanted to go to Michigan Tech. It was never a doubt in my mind.
There was I'm gonna go to Michigan here a little bit, just because when Andy Murray was actually coaching Western Michigan, he thought himself was pretty funny too. We would sit down for NCHC Media Day and we would get ready to interview him. Mind you, off camera, Andy Murray, one funny freaking dude. I'm just going to say that he's a great interview, both on and off the camera, but he said something like, oh, why you guys know why you're at Western Michigan, right? Cause you guys never would have made it in. He thought it was funny. The only person that laughed in the room, but no, I digress. Lucas, let's go back to Bemidji. So you get Lake State upcoming. Now, if there's one thing we learned about the Beavers is, yeah, you got tested a bit. Shall we say you got all that your last opponent can handle, right? But if anything, you should be more confident, only because despite maybe getting the kitchen sink thrown at you, maybe the refrigerator, right? Because they gave you all you could have, you still found ways to win. And I think if that's the most encouraging sign about Bemidji, is that despite not a perfect weekend, you still came out on top on both nights. Are you feeling the same way?
Yeah, and I think getting the injured guys back in the lineup really helped on Saturday, too. I mean, on Friday night, you're out without Tony Fulmer and you're without Kirkland Irie. Kirkland's a top-line winger for you, and with that injury, it caused you really to jumble up the other. You know, all four lines had some changes to them for that game on Friday, and that caused some chemistry issues. You could just kind of tell that there were passes weren't quite connecting. Guys weren't quite where they, you know, where their line mates thought they would be. And, you know, a lot of those issues got solved once you got Irie back on Saturday. And, you know, those, the four lines you've been rolling out here the last month and a half now have been so good. Just all four of them have scoring threats and, you know, have been playing really, really well. So yeah, it's, I think you can go into this series with quite a bit of confidence. Obviously, Lake Superior State's probably been the most successful team against you so far this season, picking up three wins in four games. So, you know, this team though is a lot different than the one that faced Lake Superior State early in the season. You know, Matias Scholl wasn't available in any of those four games. He had a number of injuries, you know, the other both of those weekends too. So it'll be a good challenge, but I you know, I think Bemidji State should be the favorite in this one. And I, you know, I just don't see a way that a tired Lake Superior State's really going to be able to keep up with all four lines that Bemidji State can roll right now.
Four lines are rolling for the Beavers. And, you know, dang, man. I mean, if we're looking ahead, I don't want to jinx it, but if Bemidji State is the CCHA representative in the NCAAs, I think they're the ultimate dark horse. I don't think anybody in this room would disagree with that. Not just because they should be labeled as one. I just don't think they're getting enough attention nationally for just how good Bemidji State really is. And only because I think CCHA conference as a whole has been, you know, shall we say, not as strong as years past. Ryan, I want to flip this to you, not because, you know, we're obviously at some point going to, you know, kind of deep dive into sort of a postseason, you know, eulogy, whatever you want to call it. But you were talking in essentially to our group chat after St. Thomas's loss. And I think most hockey fans that follow Rico know that he's kind of an emotional guy, right? But you see only the, shall we say, the side that likes to break sticks over the boards. And it's, you know, so, you know, but he's a competitive guy, right? You saw a different side of him after that recent loss, and it was a heartbreaker. And you could see a different side of Rico in that postgame presser. Can you fill us in on what you experienced with Rico after the season ended, unfortunately, for the Tommies?
Well, it was the first question I asked. I asked him, you know, what happened on the play. I mean, I knew what happened on the winning goal, but just his perspective on it. And he said, talked about it was a bad bounce and, you know, talked about what the season meant and stuff like that. And then when he started talking about this group of seniors, that's where he got a little choked up about it, because in his mind, they were a special group, because, you know, D3 guys in the first season, that's what happened. Second season, they took another step. And this year, to get the 2 seed, you know, you rely on your upperclassmen, you know, a lot of times to get you into the higher on the standings, to get you further in the postseason. And you needed upperclassmen when you lost like a majority of your roster almost, you know, to injuries at some point. So he just, I'm used to fiery Rico, you know, Rico's always on the edge a little bit when he's coaching on the bench. But yeah, it was a different side of him. It was a kind of a sensitive side, because that group did mean a lot to him. And it's interesting, because I've asked him, you know, a couple weeks ago after the regular season, and I said, can you talk about your seniors? You know, last night was seniors night, you know, and he was like, I got to wait on that before I give an assessment. And maybe that's what he needed to wait on, is because they meant so much to him and he was trying to figure out the best words to say it. So it was a bit of a surprise to see him. It's the first time I've seen him get choked up in a thing, but the senior class did mean a lot to him. And just what they did this season, I mean, we already talked about it, but just to be so undermanned for like the last month and having a tiny line shirt for the last 3 weeks and just getting home ice, pushing it to the limit, almost making it into the second round. It was a big gut check for them, and they came through. So it was a different side of him, but it was nice to see that he's not the hard-nosed, fiery guy who bangs sticks on the bench all the time. He's a good guy overall. He has that side to him.
And to compliment Rico even more, and Alex, I think it was actually your dad, Pat, that had mentioned, I think, when they were talking a couple of years back when they first made the jump to D1, and that is, he could have gotten the transfer portal. He could have taken the D3 kids who probably in his mind, right, maybe talent-wise wasn't up to D1, shall we say, standards. It's not a knock on those players, right? But he kept them in and he built that team. And it was a tough year win-loss record. But again, you know, when you build a hockey team from the ground up, which Rico has done, there's a lot of respect that I think goes between both players and coaches with that. It's not the same thing as, shall we say, what we're dealing with some of the off-ice stuff with Michigan Tech and also with Bowling Green, too, who did announce today that they were relieving their head coach. And a certain someone had some very interesting comments on that. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Swinkler's dad just, you know, saying that, you know, just jumping on, you know, the Ty Egner getting fired at Bowling Green. That was just really uncalled for, I thought, and strange from a parent to publicly put something out like that. Really, it was just bad vibes around his entire family. And it's been weird year for Michigan Tech all around. And I really hope the Mavericks give it to him this weekend, just with everything that is associated with that program this year. It's just crazy. So yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a tough matchup, but it's a good bounce back weekend for Alex Tracy. He was named goaltender of the week in the CCHA. So 58 saves in the two games. So, you know, really, really happy for him, because, you know, last weekend was demoralizing. I would think for him, and getting pulled. And so it shows the faith that, you know, Strand has and Alex Tracy. I mean, they won a Clark Cup together, and he was the Clark Cup MVP. And, you know, that, you know, that's what got Nader to get him to Mankato originally. So yeah, we'll see. And, you know, good for Sam Morton too. He had a huge weekend after getting blanked the weekend before. So yeah, lots of depth scoring too. Like Marissa said, Brian Krob has chipped in, Haskins and Luke Wilson. So they're coming in hot against in a tough place to play, and got to solve Blake Pietola. But you know, he had a rough third game. So hopefully that can continue for the Mavericks, and he lets in, you know, more than one or two.
So, which leads us to our Voss thoughts to end our segment here. Voss, it's a simple one. Are we on a collision course, Mavs and Beavers again in the CCHA championship game?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I think what Alex is saying and alluding to of getting hot at the perfect time, right? You know, right now is what you want, when you want to start winning games, when you want to start looking like a team, when you want to start putting contests together. And goaltending is looking great. We've got guys contributing. All aspects is working. Defensively looking really good. Penalty kill, power play. You know, all of these things are contributing to what the Mavericks could do. It's kind of like weird though. Omaha, I hate to bring Omaha into this, but Omaha and MSU, I feel like, are eerily similar this year, not just because they're both Mavericks, but because they're both doing the same thing. They're both getting hot at the exact same time, putting a full game together, having everything.
Here's the difference, Marissa. One's in a pairwise position, the other one isn't.
One is purple.
And you're right. Listen,
I had to bring it up. We swept UND, so it makes me happy to see it. But had to bring them up in some way, shape, or form, because they are a scary, scary team right now. But going back to our Mavericks,
lost in their previous 12.
That flipped the pairwise. Like, teams went way out. Omaha went to 12.
12. Yeah,
crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
I was like emceeing, and I was like, to do it on Saturday, I was like, what did we just do? Did we just sweep them again and again? Like, and we barely missed home ice. I mean, if Denver would have won, we would have had home ice, but now we don't. But yeah, that was crazy.
I wonder how Cameron Berg feels too.
Yeah. Nolan Sullivan, too, a great kid from Eden Prairie, their captain, great dude, happy for him. I was talking about this with Max in our previous segment, that, you know, they just kind of felt like in the preview of their season way back in September, they felt like they had a good group. They just didn't really get their traction going in the first half. They have in the second half. And, you know, you talk about dark horses and conferences, Omaha. I don't know if you can really call them a dark horse right now. They're playing some good hockey. And when you sweep North Dakota, who was apparently they're pretty good this year, that's a pretty dang good accomplishment. So
it was a dangerous accomplishment. Yeah, absolutely. But anyways, I'll just end out on a flaring note besides just ending on Omaha, because this is a CCHA hockey talk and a CCHA hockey podcast. But I think Minnesota State is dangerous. I think they have a chip on their shoulder. I think they I wouldn't be surprised if they are going to be winning against, obviously, Tech and placing against Bemidji, because I feel like the trajectory of everything in the CCHA right now is how it's always been: Bemidji versus Minnesota State. Those are the two top dogs. Those are the two teams. Those are the two best teams, recruiting wise, just overall. And, you know, again, Bemidji, though, Bemidji's also a very scary team. And they showed that when they won the McNaughton Cup. Probably why I was chirping them so much is because they scare me a lot. So, but I do have confidence in this Minnesota State squad. I think they're putting it together at the exact same time. And I think that that's all you can ask for.
Feels like destiny, right, guys? But Bemidji State and Minnesota State, hopefully destined to meet in the championship game. They got to get past for Bemidji Lake State, and as well for Minnesota State, they have to get past Michigan Tech. That is in Holt, Michigan, right?
And no more. It's not a three game. It's win or go home. You know, one game. Home, right? So now that makes the stakes even more and more intense. So
crazy, should be a
fun,
right?
Saturday.
It's playoff hockey, right? And that's what we're here for. Hopefully, both of our teams are here to face each other for the CCHA championship game in 2 weeks, or a week and a half by the time you listen to this, of NCAA. Don't go away.